Perfect. Hi, hello again, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Racing Refresh Happy Hour, Season 2, Episode 12, Episode 46 overall, this one titled Breaking Brad. I'm Logan Loganity Morris, and it's a pleasure to be joined with you this evening, and we're going to talk some NASCAR, and thank the Lord I don't do it alone. Thank the Lord I don't do it alone. Freddie, thank you for tuning in already, brother. We love you. We love you. We couldn't do it without you. We wouldn't even attempt it. We wouldn't even try. But let's bring in the cast of characters that join me this evening. Let's bring him in. He's the bringer of the heat. He's the show creator. He's the man that brings more Canadian bacon than ham ever could. Adam Carney Carabine, come on in here, sir.
Hello, Logan. Welcome to Racing Refresh Happy Hour. I said I was going to bring the heat today, and I meant it. Let's do it. Let's bring the heat.
We're cooking with gas now, boys. We got the peanut oil.
I'm just excited. I'm excited. It was a great weekend.
What are you excited about?
Well, just Brad getting his, you know, breaking the winless streak. And
Breaking Brad, yes.
I don't know. I'll tell you more later. Let's keep going. That's very good. Yeah. Nicely done.
But Freddie, thank you for tuning in. How are you, brother? Hope you enjoyed the Darlington weekend of racing. And now we go even more old school. We go to North Wilkesboro, but we'll talk about that in a little while. Before we move it along, let's bring in the woman that puts the produce and producer. I'm talking about, of course, the strangest woman on God's planet, but the love of my life, producer Peggy. Does she have Dainty Dorothy with her? Let's find out. Let's bring her in. Come on in here.
I never not have Dainty Dorothy with me.
Peggy, how are you?
Do you really want to know?
No, not really. Everybody says good, and then we move it along. That's how it goes.
I thought it was funny you said produce because... Do you know how I got this bruise?
Don't know.
Well, let me share. I got it while volunteering on produce day in a food pantry.
I was terrified for what you were about to share because I had no idea. I had not a clue. Freddie says he spent Saturday at the local track for some good old-fashioned short track race and had a blast. But yes, Darlington was a good race. And that it was, Freddie, that it was. I hope you enjoyed your local short track. You got to support those local short tracks, as one of the founders, Tyler Lawler, always used to say. That's where the stars come from. Peggy, any final words before we keep moving along?
No.
Riveting stuff. all right, it's time for our weekend review. Let's give them something to talk about. How about NASCAR? Wow. All right, in the truck.
Don't get us copyright stricken here with that beautiful singing.
I said NASCAR.
I just mean the song. I don't want the ghost of, is that Bonnie Raitt? she's not dead. She's alive. We don't want Bonnie Raitt's people coming after us.
So. How about love? Ooh, love. All right, speaking of love. I love this. Ross Chastain won in the trucks, and Kyle Busch finished in last place.
Woo.
Yeah,
boy, it was a rough, honestly, it was a rough weekend for Kyle Busch, not just in the truck race. It was not a strong showing in the cup race either. But
he had trouble very early. I think it was lap two or three.
Yeah.
When he, unfortunately, and I mean this sincerely because I don't want anyone to get hurt, unfortunately kind of careened off the wall and then did a bunch of toe damage, and that was, you know, you can throw the baby out with the bathwater at that point when it comes to the toe link in the modern era.
That's true.
Ross Chastain getting it done for Nice Motorsports, his old stomping grounds. It wasn't too long ago that he was there every weekend. You could be there 23 out of 36 race weekends. Good for Ross. I don't have, you know, it was a decent truck race as far as truck races go. A little calamity here, a little calamity there. And, you know, you got any thoughts, Adam?
Yeah, I think, you know, good for Ross. You know, I think there are some Ross Chastain haters out there, and I don't know. I think he's good for the sport, just kind of being an interesting character. And so he hasn't had a win yet in the Cup Series. You know, does this give him a little momentum, give him a little confidence, you know, remind him that he knows how to win and see if that translates to the Cup Series? Maybe. I don't know. I'm all for it. I think congrats to him. And I, you know, I don't cheer for Kyle Busch coming in last place, but I thought I would put that in there just for you because I knew you'd like that.
Well, we're professionals here. I don't want to, you know, I don't want to be too biased towards Mr. Kyle Busch. I'm a professional, allegedly.
We're professional adjacent, I think. We're close. We're getting there.
Professional adjacent. I like it. I like it. That's what I tell my doctor with my weight. We're close. We're adjacent to it. We're getting there. All right. Freddie says that wasn't something I was thinking for the trucks for Kyle finishing dead last. But, yeah, you got to give the Mellon Man credit. He did his thing. And Xfinity, yeah, Justin Allgaier getting it done. And then, yeah, we talk about old Bad Brad, and we'll talk about him some more. 110 winless streak races. 110 races, folks. That's what a cool story that is. We'll talk more about that in just a moment. But yeah, good for Ross. I'm not a Ross hater. I think that he needs to find a balance between, you know, the old be aggressive and what, and then sometimes he gets a little shook up and then suddenly loses all his mojo. So he's got to find that. He's got to ride the lightning bolt a little better. And when he does, I think that's when he'll be a truly elite talent in this sport. When he can find that middle ground between go hard all the time, kind of SpongeBob Florid style, and then sometimes it's driving Miss Daisy. So if he can find that, if he can pick and choose his spots on when it's time to go and when it's time to not, that's when I think you're talking about him entering the echelon of a Denny Hamlin or a Martin Truex, you know, guys that have just proven they're capable of winning week in, week out. So we'll see if that comes to pass. Any other thoughts before moving to the Xfinity race?
I agree with you there, Logan. I think Ross Chastain, you know, in the limited time that we've seen him in kind of good equipment up in the Cup Series, he's kind of had two speeds. And one of them is just like wrecking everyone just to get what he wants. And the other one is kind of this weird, like, tail between his legs, like, you know, very little aggression. And yeah, you're right. I think he's got to find that middle ground. Just from a fan standpoint and from a standpoint of entertainment value, I think I prefer him leaning more towards the aggressive side just because I think it makes for interesting storylines. But I think the more different drivers you can have that are successful, the better the product is. And so I'm on board with it.
I agree with you entirely. It is, it's a lot like life, right? It's a little, you know, I'm not being tongue in cheek when I say this. We always say you got to find balance with everything you do. He's got to find that balance to be way too aggressive sometimes. I mean, yes, it created one of the more iconic moments the sport is ever going to see in the Hail Mellon. I mean, it takes a guy that takes it to a different level to even think about pulling it off. But then after, and I'm just going to call a spade here, no disrespect, but after Mr. H spoke out, he kind of became, for lack of a better term, no disrespect, neutered a little bit. Mm-hmm. And so he's been trying to find that middle ground ever since. We'll see if he can do that. I think winning in any series is big because it doesn't remind you it can be done. Right. You know, frankly, I think Kyle Busch might need to win this weekend. He's not having the season that you would like to have or frankly expect of a guy in the GOAT debate, as they say. That wasn't to be. Nor did he have a great weekend in the Cup Series. We can talk more about that in a bit. But Justin Allgaier had a great weekend. He dominated for his first win of the season. One of those JRM fellas, one of those junior motorsports fellas. Look, I know Dale Jr.'s got his regrets about not getting in the Cup Series when charters were cheaper, but he's doing all right down the Xfinity side.
It's true. Yeah, no, I mean, right. it was a bit of a slower start for junior motorsports this year. But yeah, I'm just, let me have a quick peek here at my notes. Yeah. Sam Mayer kicked off their winning this season and that wasn't, that was just in Texas. So took 8 races for them to get on the board with a win, but yeah, I don't know. I think they're looking fine. There's, you know,
Ford's over there going boo hoo.
Yeah, that's true. It's just, you know, I guess it's what you prioritize, right? Like junior motorsports is likely going to contend for the championship every year in the Xfinity mm-hmm. series. And so do you place a whole lot of, you know, worry on the first 7 races when you don't have a win yet, but you're performing like decent enough? I don't know if they are like hitting the panic button there at all.
I don't think they should. I mean, you know, we can, yeah, winning is the name of the game. But if you're putting consistent finishes together, that's hard to do in this sport, folks. It's hard to do. I mean, mm-hmm. even the great drivers have a week where all of a sudden you finish 34th. Freddie says 2 truck wins for Kyle is good, yes, but cup-wise, he isn't doing that great at the moment. But he thinks he'll get it. He might look – I think Kyle Busch is still the most talented driver in the field. I really do believe that. But something hasn't clicked greatly so far at RCR this year. But I guess if you're Richard Childress, you look at your other driver, Austin Dillon, and Lordy, that's not going well. I mean, to put it in perspective, Eric Jones is still ahead of him, and he missed 2 races.
Yeah. That's
you know, Austin Dillon is just having a season to forget. Frankly, if it gets much worse, you're going to forget he's there. Freddie says Sammy Smith is going to win next. I don't think that's too far-fetched. Sammy Smith's a young guy. He's got a lot of potential. I think you'll see him in the Cup Series sooner rather than later here in the next year or two, especially as more older drivers continue to age out. You know, Martin Truex, we'll see what his future holds. He doesn't know. I don't know. Adam, do you know?
You know, I don't know. It depends on if the fish are biting this week, I think. So, yeah, we just wait and see.
He doesn't know. Bob Pocker says he's in the you know, will I or will I not phase of coming on back.
Yes, the pre-contemplation phase, yes. I guess you could say. Yeah,
the pre-contemplation of the contemplation. And by the time August hits, he'll really start to contemplate it. And then,
yeah.
Yeah, Martin Truex is becoming very Brett Favre-esque in his, maybe not.
He just needs Bob Pockrass to ask him like 5 more times and he'll get so annoyed. He'll just be like, yeah, okay, fine. I'll make my decision now. I don't think he cares to make the decision, but he's just more annoyed by the questions every week.
Well, we haven't heard many questions yet regarding that. We will as the summer heats up, literally and figuratively.
Maybe I'll ask him in Sonoma when I go. I'm going to Sonoma. Although I don't know. He's also my favorite driver. I don't know if I want to piss him off. Well, we have a good thing going, him and I.
You can ask him where he is in the process of deciding. Not has he decided. True. Yeah.
There you go. There's
one more way to skin that cat.
That's true. Okay. I like it. I'm going to use that.
When I go cover the NHRA here in June, I'm going to ask John Force, you know, where are you in your process of deciding how much longer you're going to drive? Not have you decided you're going to hang it up yet?
Yeah.
You know, you got to be nice about it. All right. Let's talk that cup race. Brad K broke a 110, not a typo, folks, race winless streak. Obviously this is his first win for his co-owned team with the Cat in the Hat, Jack Roush. So that's big on a multitude of levels. It wasn't that long ago that Brad Kay was a contender to win every single week. Or it doesn't feel like it was that long. It doesn't feel like it was 3 years to me.
Right.
You know, he left Penske, and that was – and he bet on himself. And, you know, there were some that thought this day wasn't ever going to come, that he would never win again. But slowly but surely, RFK has come back to prominence. And you can make an argument – I certainly would right now that they're the hottest Ford team in the garage, because not Stuart Haas, not Penske, RFK gets Ford off the schneid. That's pretty hard to believe when you consider where they were just a year or two ago.
Yeah.
Brad Kay gets it done, Adam. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, congratulations to Brad. I'm not like the world's biggest Brad fan. I don't dislike him. I don't love him. I think he's a great guy. I have no feelings towards him, but just to see someone break a streak like that, 110 races, is super exciting. And I think there's extra excitement involved when it's, you know, because he bet on himself. Like you said, he took a real chance leaving Penske and buying into what was then just Roush Fenway, and became Roush Fenway Keselowski. And yeah, RFK, it just, you know, it was a lesser team than Penske, obviously, at the time. And, you know, there was talk that, like, okay, his veteran leadership could maybe help bring them back up. And Chris Buescher has been, you know, enjoying the spoils of that for sure for, you know, a couple of years now. And obviously, overall, they have been getting better. But yeah, there was just that, like, he was knocking at the door many, many times, even just a couple times this season already. He could have 3 wins this year, but he's just been snake bitten for whatever reason. And so to see him finally break that that streak is pretty great.
You can make an argument. This is the race that he deserved to win the least. It took a kind of a series of unfortunate events for others. It reminded me a little bit of Eric Jones winning for Pei GMS at the time, because Eric Jones wasn't the best car that night. Kyle Busch missed a shift of all things. It took a series of unfortunate events for Brad Kay to get it done. And I'm glad he did. You know, if I had a rooting interest at that point, it was certainly him. Do you think this is one that gets the proverbial monkey off the back and now he's going to be a contender on a more consistent basis? Because there is something to be said for once you get one, it becomes easier. We've seen that with Chase Elliott. Remember, right, he had the humongous losing streak to start his career. It took him a long time to get win number one. I was teased on various versions of this show mercilessly about it. And then now he's, notwithstanding last season and some this season, overall he's a contender to win every week. Do you think this gets the proverbial monkey off the back for Brad, and now are we going to see more wins this season for him?
I'm not convinced just yet. I think he's been running really well, and I think he's, you know, a lock to probably make the round of 8. But I don't know if I see wins in his future necessarily. I think he's good for 1 to 2 wins per year. I mean, he's 40 years old now, so he's getting nearer the end of his driving career at least. And, you know, I don't know if that's just like reaction time is just not quite as good as it once was, or whatever it might be. And the same question for Kyle Busch too, right? Like, whatever it is, if that's just age catching up or whatever. But I think they've built up the program enough there that they've got solid equipment, and it'll just be a case of like him being happy with like top fives and top tens, and the occasional win might come in through there. So I don't see it as like, oh, he's going to pop off here and go like 5 wins or something. I don't see that ever for him anymore. But yeah, 1 to 2 per season, I think he's good for that. Absolutely.
So you don't think it's his last win at the very least?
No, I don't think so. No, I think he's got more in there for sure.
You know, you never know when it's your last one. That's, you know, but
that's true.
It creeps up quickly on you.
I was going to point out too, just so as far as like current winless streaks go, this is just for drivers who already have a win. I'm not counting people who are looking for their first win. There is one kind of outlier who was above Keselowski, and that's Justin Haley. But I don't know if I even count that one really, because he got that really weird win at Daytona with the weather, like Kurt Busch pit, and he ended up winning because of the rain.
Kurt was a pissed off individual.
Oh, I don't blame him. But so now, aside from Justin Haley, if you kind of remove him, because he does have a bit of an asterisk there.
Yeah, fair.
The next sort of person who's on the chopping block as far as longest winless streak is now Austin Cindric. He's up to 84 races without a win, and that dates back to his Daytona 500 win in his rookie season. So I don't know if the noise is going to start coming after Cindric a little more, or I think that monkey is off Keselowski's back for sure. So
the chatter, as they say. No, it's hard to believe that you're talking about. That means what this week? I don't know. Starts at the All-Star race, get confusing. So in the next week or two, you're talking 85 races for Austin Cindric, since that, you know, his first start went really well.
Yeah, you won't. Then, we won't count the All-Star race in that. Yeah. That doesn't count the All-Star races. So
even though I feel like it should, it doesn't. Right? That's the official. But like, we still run the damn thing.
I guess maybe the argument is that not everyone gets to run it. So I don't know.
Yeah,
I hear you. It's still a race. They're still trying. So
there's $1 million on the line.
And if it's not like some of the other stick and ball sports where the All-Star race is just like a showboating competition because no one wants to injure themselves. So
a little exhibition, as they say.
Yeah.
No, it's interesting. Austin Cindric is supposed to be the next face of Team Penske. That is clear. Keep in mind, Tim Cindric is very high up for that team. It is clear that Austin Cindric is supposed to be the guy. Will he ever grow into that? I don't know. Of course, now it's tough. You got two champions that you're partner with, and so you're always kind of in the shadow, a la Christopher Bell at Gibbs, or a little earlier on Eric Jones at Gibbs. So that's always a tough comp, as they say. But yeah, it's hard to believe it's already been 85 races, and
I mean, Christopher Bell's winless streak is at 9, so
yeah,
he's at least, you know, putting up some wins here and there.
Yeah, so it is.
Cindric wins the Daytona 500, which is impressive. Don't get me wrong, but it's also one of those kind of crapshoot races where, you know, something weird can happen at the white flag and you suddenly are a Daytona 500 champion. And
right place at the right time.
Yeah.
I think it's interesting. I don't know if that means it's time that seats start getting warm for Cindric. He's had a couple of good runs. I know there's been a couple of times, and I cannot recall specifics, folks, but I know for a fact that there's been a few times on road courses that he was in the conversation. Other than that, it's been a pretty paltry run as far as trying to contend for wins. I know you had something else you were going to say. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I was kind of, you know, poo-pooing people who win at Daytona, and I don't mean to, but I also just wanted to say how happy I am for someone like a Brad Keselowski, who is a veteran in the sport, to get this important win, this big, you know, record-breaking streak-breaking win is what I should say, at Darlington, a track which is like seen as a driver's track, that is a difficult track to win at. It takes skill. Like, you're not seeing people luck into wins at Darlington. It does take some skill, you know, in the same way that you might see at a Daytona or Talladega. You gotta get there. You gotta get there, and it's a difficult track to race. So I just, you know, as Matt Maher says, Brad Keselowski won this race. Yeah, and just kudos to him for doing it on kind of one of these driver's tracks, as they call it. So
he did win this race, and Matt, we appreciate you tuning in. We appreciate you for being on the last 2 weeks. We'll have you back real soon. Could be next week. Who knows? But you will be back real soon. Yeah, Brad won this race, and great for him, man. I don't know how many more wins he's gotten in the tank. I think he gets another one this season. I really do. Frankly, I think, and this is not an official pick, we're still a few weeks away, I think he's a sleeper Coke 600 pick. He's won there before. And again, once you get that proverbial monkey off, I think things can start to click. I think he wins again this year. I think a win like that after 3 years, 110 races, I think that helps give the confidence back. And so then you start making, because it also changes, and we saw this with the Buescher Reddick heated discussion. It also changes how you can race. You can take some risk. You can kind of cram it in there where you typically wouldn't. You can take some risk, and maybe they work out, because let's be honest, unless a lot of things happen from here until September, you know, you're locked in the playoffs. Unless a lot of, I mean, it would take a lot of things. Hypothetically could happen, not very likely. So you're likely locked in the playoffs at this point unless people start running out buku winners. And then again, with this sport, you never know, but it's not likely. And so, I mean, maybe,
is it not likely? I'm going to interrupt you for a sec. We're halfway through the regular season now. We just hit race 13. And we have 8 different winners. So that's halfway to 16. We could get another 8 different winners in the second half.
I'm not saying it's we could, but I'm surprised that the number's that high. Are you surprised the number's that high?
I suppose. I mean, you got to remember.
It doesn't feel like it's that high. It feels like it's been Denny Hamlin and William Byron trading off who's got the, you know, the talking pillow of a nice.
Yeah. I think
therapy session.
Brad Kay is, I'm going to go out on a limb here and say he is guaranteed in the playoffs. He is almost 100 points ahead of Daniel Suarez, who also has a win this year. And so, you know, if anyone's going to not make the playoffs and have a win, it'll be Suarez most likely. Or, I mean, someone else could win, get a Zane Smith win.
Anything's possible at Daytona Talladega, folks. Anything's possible at Atlanta. Anything's possible. Anything's possible in this sport. I mean, people don't like to think so, but I mean, look, when last year at the Indy Road Course, when Michael McDowell won that bad boy, you weren't thinking he was going to win that bad boy.
It's true.
It could be anyone's given week. You know, I'm hoping that a couple cars have their week here real soon, if you know what I'm saying. We'll see what happens. Well,
even with Brad Kay, like, I think we were in agreement that, you know, RFK is on the rise. That looks great. And, you know, sure, he's going to win this year, but I don't think we would have penciled in Darlington as the one that, oh, this is the one that Brad's going to get in the bag. You know, like he's got his bread and butter, which tends to be kind of those super speedway races and kind of mile and a half. This one's an odd shaped track. It's a little different. So, yeah.
You never know. Our little egg at Darlington.
That's right.
Matt Marsh's doesn't feel that high. And I think it's because the lack of performance and wins for Ford. I agree. But he says that Brad's win can be the turning point getting more wins for Ford. I think it will be because, again, there's just something to getting off the proverbial schneid. That seems to be my word of the week. I apologize, folks. But there's something to just finally climbing that Everest, right? Because, I mean, that is still Ford's only win of the year in all three series.
It's crazy.
That's hard to believe. That's really, really hard to believe. We'll see if that changes. No, good for Brad. I hope he gets a few more. I think he gets at least one more this season. I really do believe that.
I can see it.
Let's move it along here. Chris Buescher and Tyler Reddick had a brouhaha, kerfluffle, a nice little yelling match, an exchange of vocal cord strengths on pit road. And
speaking of tail between the legs there, man. It wasn't even so much a yelling match as like a lecture from Buescher to Reddick.
Yeah, boy, Tyler Reddick looked like he was about to get his lunch money stolen. no, I thought both men, all things considered, yeah, I know Buescher was hot and gave that shove, but I thought both men, all things considered, showed some class because Buescher could have went a lot further because he de-escalated when he saw that Reddick was ready to de-escalate. And so I thought both men could have went a lot further in their defense of their particular stances, and they didn't. They acknowledged that they have a good history. And Buescher, and this is a point I make about Brad Kay and why I think he's got a great chance to get another win. You race differently when you have that win sticker. You can take some risk. You can take in it. Hey, if it doesn't work out, we're in the playoffs, baby. Where Buescher, until you're in there, you don't start taking risk until you're taking risk to get in there. Until then, you're playing it real safe. You're going, I'm not skipping my rock across this here pond. Nope. I'm going to keep my rock and I'm going to go to my next pond. Until you start getting about 4 or 5 races to go, you don't even think about, well, could I maybe make a move here? It does. It changes how you race. And one thing, and I think this is an underrated point of this this squabble, and then I'll let you have the floor. This shows what winning in this sport means. I mean, that was the whole point of, like, I don't know if Chris Buescher is upset. I'm sure he's not pleased, but his whole point was, like, I don't have that sticker. I don't have that win. It's different for me. It means more. And so I love that it showed this sport is all about you got to somehow win at this stage. And obviously this sport has evolved a ton, but right now in 2024, it's all about got to get wins in the regular season, get in the playoffs. What were your thoughts on the almost good old-fashioned Donnybrook?
Yeah, no, I definitely agree with what you're saying there, just how important a win is. And I don't think that is, like, for some drivers, a win is important as far as, like, their career goes. I feel like we talked about Daniel Suarez winning at Atlanta earlier this year and how that was, like, that might have just saved his spot. And so there's extra pressure there. I don't get the sense that Chris Buescher is in danger of losing his ride anytime soon at RFK. I feel like him and Brad have a good relationship and, you know, the results are good enough to keep him there. But even still, this was, you know, there was no underlying, like, I could lose this ride and that's why I need the win. It was literally just, I'm trying to make the playoffs. You have a sticker and I don't. And so I'm pissed, you know, and I mean, rightfully so, but also, yeah, props to Reddick for kind of owning it and saying, yeah, I screwed up. He didn't quite use those words, but he said, yeah, it was my bad and apologize. And I think you're right. I think Chris Buescher came in ready to throw some punches, and not every driver would have just been immediately like, hey, my mistake, sorry. You know, it would have been like, hey, that's racing. We tried, you know, we're going for the win, too bad. And maybe some punches might have been thrown then, but... Yeah,
and I don't. Somewhere this is going to make Ryan Hill sit up from wherever he is. But I think if that same discussion happens with Joey Logano,
oh yeah,
it goes entirely different, because Joey Logano is very honest and to his credit to some extent about, I don't care. I got to do what I got to do. I'm going to try to do what I got to do. I don't care about you. He admits that on the track, and I can appreciate that to some extent. You're right. I thought Chris Buescher was ready to come in here, and he was ready to trade some haymakers. Matt Morris says, all I got to say is I understand Buescher's frustration, but Reddick's trying everything to win more and get playoff points. So I don't know. I don't think either of them wrong, but he thinks that Chris sounded like a whiner. You know, I can understand where you're coming from on that. I certainly thought that last week. We talked about it, Matt, with the kind of going on X or Twitter, whatever you want to call it, and kind of taking what I felt was a very thinly veiled shot at Kyle Larson, and you know, he can say what he wants that it wasn't, but I think that is a bunch of bullocks. but I think when you factor in he's had these two back-to-back kind of heartbreaking weeks, mm-hmm. is that whining or is that frustration boiling over? You know, in this week especially, because keep in mind, he still has a great fit. Yeah, second place is the first loser, as the great Dale Sr. once said. I get that. But it's a great finish. This week, not only does he not get the win that he's looking for, he has an awful finish. What was he, 30th, 31st?
30th. Yeah, 30th.
It goes from heartbreaking but a darn good points day to the next week, heartbreaking, and we don't even have a good points day. Are you kidding me? Yeah, I'd be ready to throw some hands too.
I think there's something to be said for just the nature of where this sport is at right now too, and how difficult it is to come to the track and have a car that has a chance to win. Like, that is not a given on any given week necessarily. Even for the Hendrick cars, you know, like, even for, we kind of see Hendrick as the top of the pile there, but so I feel like there's extra frustration knowing that he had a car that was good enough to win and didn't. You know, if you show up and you miss the setup and you run in the back all day, yeah, that's frustrating. You know, it's upsetting to get little amount of points when, you know, you're trying to make your way to the playoffs, but it's like when you catch lightning in a bottle that, you know, maybe one or two times a year and you're like, I've got the car. I have the winning car today. And then that gets taken away from you. That, I think that adds to the frustration
too. Yeah, especially when it's not of your own team's volition or your own volition that you made a mistake. When it's someone out there that has nothing to do with your team or your day, That's got to sting something awful in my estimation.
And then, it's someone who's already in the playoffs, right?
Yeah, so. it's like, hey, you're greeted with it. We appreciate it.
Yeah.
But if you're Tyler Reddick, there is, you know, to play devil's advocate for a moment before we move on. We just said you don't know when your last one's going to come. You don't have a clue, and so you might as well try to get all you can.
Yeah, and I don't think that was an intentional, you know, it took them, like, Reddick finished 32nd. I don't think, it's not like Reddick got something good out of this. Yeah. Like, I think it was a mistake. Yeah. It was
a mistake
and too bad. And, you know, they both suffer because of it. But
of course, it was throwback weekend at Darlington. And for the first time, and kind of similar to the Clash this year, it didn't feel like throwback weekend. It didn't have the usual pomp and circumstance. I don't know why that is.
Did you have a favorite throwback scheme?
Well, you know, the obvious ones are the petty ones for me, right? But let me get a little bit. I mean, you have to love the Kyle Larson, Tara Labonte. That was really cool. And then the Ghost of Dell Sr. Said, I still don't like that scheme. And so he rattled the cage one more time. I thought that was a great, 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 great scheme.
That's a good looking car.
We didn't see a lot of it on TV, but I thought Alex Bowman's throwback to Jimmy Johnson was really good.
Here, I think I got that one here too.
I thought that was really good.
Yeah. Look, the old Lowe's paint scheme, but props to these new sponsors who are, you know, willing to allow something like that. You know, that's not Allies Colors or all that. That's cool.
That's literally saying go to Lowe's without saying it.
Yeah.
Ryan Hill. I said as soon as I said what I said, I knew it.
Ryan Hill must just be like,
yeah,
crying himself to sleep every night.
Oh, he's having a tough time. We text throughout most races, and he is having a tough time. And then Logano finally has a good day, right? And then he gets a speeding penalty late, and then oof, golly, day G Willikers.
I did just want to shout out. I know they kind of made mention of it on the broadcast, but I quite liked this paint scheme. The 15 looking sharp. Not bad there, Kaz Grala.
Yeah, I believe that was Mike Joy's favorite of the day. Mike Joy even got in the old throwback tradition. Did you see him rocking a speed shirt?
he did. Yes, I saw that. Yeah,
that was nice. So he got in. Well, Ryan, I was mentioning that if Chris Buescher would have had that same sort of heated discussion with Joey Logano instead of Tyler Reddick, I feel like Joey Logano would have said, it's just racing at Darlington.
Yeah.
It's just racing at Darlington going for the win. And I think it would have went a way worse discussion than it did with Tyler Reddick, who respectfully kind of cowered. I don't, you know, hey, he saved it from getting bad, and that's great. He saved a couple of fines and suspensions.
I think when you're 5'3",
Got to pick and choose your battle.
I don't think he's 5'3", but he's pretty short.
I'm about 5'5", 5'6", depending on what convenience store I'm leaving. And Ryan, let's be honest, though. If Joey Logano causes somebody some issue, it's anybody's fault but Joey Logano. And if it is Joey Logano's fault, he goes, I'm just doing what I got to do.
Yep. But you just better not do what you got to do to me. So
yeah, he's never too thrilled about.
I just looked it up. Tyler Reddick is 5'2".
He's a baby.
He's a baby.
Shoo.
He's a cool dude. I like him.
I know you're a fan. I think the King is over a foot taller than Tyler Reddick.
Yeah. Austin Cindric's tall too. You don't always see it. You can't always tell on TV, but he's 6'3".
Shoo.
Yeah.
Gee, boy.
Anyhow.
Tyler Reddick's neck's going to hurt.
Yeah.
Like careening at the old video game store back in the day. Remember that, trying out games?
Oh, yeah.
Doing that old deal? That was not a comfortable. They didn't give you a chair or nothing at that old deal. Did you ever have one of them in Canada?
Oh, you're talking like the actual like demo versions of games, yeah, like on a TV and stuff.
Yeah, I
think I'm too old for that. You know, that level of technology when I was the age to like try and find that stuff. But I do remember having to look up at the movies and the games at Blockbuster to try and figure out what I wanted to see. So
yeah, just cringing up at it there. Yeah. Just Ryan says he loves the Christopher Buschers getting heat by the fans for Jackson saying he needs to quit crying. But if that was Chase or any HMS driver, that move was done by, they would be in an uproar calling it dirty. Maybe.
Probably not wrong.
Maybe. I don't have any issue with what either man did. I don't have any issue with what either man did.
Agreed.
Tyler Reddick was going for it all. He owned his mistake. And he said he tried to back out of it. Now, did he? I don't know. I'd have to see the SMT data, right? But he owned his mistake, and it cost both of them. And it's not like you said, Adam. It's not like he got a reward for it. He finished two spots worse than Chris Buescher. So technically, the guy that should have finished better did finish better out of the. So
yeah,
I don't have any issue. I thought both men, other than the shove, I thought both men behaved pretty gentlemanly when you considered how hot and heated it was, and it de-escalated quickly. I ain't got no issue with it. If you ain't trying to win, if you're not doing all you can to try to win the race, what the hell are you doing? Now, there's a difference between that and being outright dirty and pushing it too far, but if you're not pushing the envelope trying to win the race every single week, I don't know what you're doing. I don't know why you're here. That's just my take. I don't know. All right. Anything else before we move on to happy hour headlines?
No, let's get her done. Let's move
all on. Right. A little happy hour headlines. Hit that neon for me, Peggy. Thank you. Looking good as always. Yes, 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 sirree. All right. Some big news broke last week. Michael McDowell leaving Front Row Motorsports. And then within an hour or two after that broke, it broke. He's going to Spire. He's going to take over that. At 71 ride is Zane Smith. This is pretty big news. Not only does he move from Front Row, but that means he's leaving Ford as well. And he's been a Ford mainstay for a while. What were your thoughts, Adam?
Yeah, I mean, I think to me this seemed like a decision based on Spire being willing to offer a multi-year deal to someone like Michael McDowell, who is, you know, getting up there in age as well. And from what we kind of understand from Front Row Motorsports, they like to operate on a year-to-year basis. You know, you don't hear ever any drivers being announced for more than 1 year at a time. And fair enough, that's their prerogative. But, you know, at this stage in his career, Michael McDowell's looking for a little stability, going to, you know, take care of his family, and moves to Spire. The question I have is whether this is a step forward or a step back. You know, Michael McDowell has been fighting his whole career really to be relevant. And I'd say that with respect. I don't mean to be, it's not meant to be rude. I think he's been a victim of poor equipment for a long time in his career. And he's finally gotten to a place where he is challenging for wins. Sometimes he has a couple now with Front Row after, you know, one of the longest, I can't remember what the stat was, but just, you know, he went one of the longest times without a win and finally got his first one. So, is it a step forward? I haven't seen enough out of Spire to say, oh, you know, he's going to move the right direction. But again, this might be a Brad Keselowski type move. There's no ownership involved as far as we know, but maybe he's going to go and try and elevate the program with his experience.
Well, I think you hit the nail on the head. I think it's a security move. I totally respect Front Row's right to kind of 1 year deal it, and then we'll see. But as a driver, that would get, frankly, anxiety inducing that we have to do this every year. I can't, and it's not to say that you ever want to have a down year, but it doesn't allow for that lull year that, look, it just didn't go our way, and it might not even be necessarily my fault. Yeah. Like, I would want a place to you certainly can, but it's not advantageous to be in a spot where I don't want my driver thinking if he has one bad year, he's going to lose his job. I don't want my driver thinking that, especially if they've been good, like Michael McDowell has been good for Front Row, all things considered. He has been a pillar of that for so long. So Matt says the pins are going to fall now, and you think it also has to do with that front row SHR murder rumor. Now, that's a great question. SHR is kind of, we're in limbo here. We're in limbo.
I think they're doing the same Martin Truex Jr. dance here, where it's like, we don't even know what's going on.
You know, because at one point, here's the interesting, and this is the interesting thing to bring up, Matt. At one point, Matt Weaver last week reported that SHR's entire operation may be for sale. And I don't want to say I told you so. God knows I hate to do that. I am never one to say I told you so. I'm not a bragger.
He hates it. He hates doing it.
That's not my thing. I mean, Adam, I never have been like, see? So.
Never.
Never have. Folks, SHR, as we know it, in my estimation, is probably over. The question is, what changes? Do they just sell a charter or two? Do they downsize? Do they merge? I don't know. But going back to McDowell, Adam, I think this is, what's some security? The odd part of Spider is this. They're making money moves, right? They bought KBM. They keep Kyle Busch on as a consultant. They have sponsorship. They're getting funding from somewhere. But let's be honest here. It's not translating yet on the track at all. And I don't mean they should be playoff contending, but there is no noticeable improvement at all. If anything, kind of a step back as a team this year. I mean, Carson Hocevar has been the, if you want to say standout, he's the standout. And that is, for as likable as Corey LaJoie is, he hasn't got a win.
Yeah. I'm just looking at some trends here. You know, I keep track of these things. They are a slightly ahead of last year, but like not enough based on how much money they've spent compared to last year. So I
don't know. I would maybe give Kyle Busch more than a consulting role. One thing we know is he understands how team operations work. Matt Morris says HSR has notified buyers of charters that they've got at least one or two for sale. Right. Bob Pockers reported that for Fox Sports last week. And then Matt, I'm sure you saw Matt Weaver said that the entire operation could be for sale.
I think it's a question of, you know, for the right price, we're open to anything.
Money, money, money.
Seriously. It's, you know, I think you have to send some of those leaks out and send some of that info out so people know that that's on the table even, right?
They
may have someone come in and say, I'll buy one of your charters for $50 million. I don't know, something stupid like that. And they'll say, great, that's all we really were hoping to get. And they'll go with three next year. Who knows? They might have someone come in and say, I'll take the entire operation off your hands. And that might be it too.
Yeah. But
I do think, sorry, I keep cutting you off, Logan. I'm doing a good job of that today. Matt Marr just saying that, you know, this might have something to do, the McDowell signing might have something to do with Front Row and SHR. Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, there is rumors about that. And if they're not sure what they're doing yet, who knows if SHR kind of does a takeover of Front Row or somehow like that. And then is McDowell's kind of loyalty that he's built up with Front Row suddenly not count for much anymore? Do they say, we want to put Noah Gregson in that car because we've sold two of our charters or something? You know, I don't know. So, I think it's a good move for McDowell from a financial standpoint. And Lord knows he's used to running in the back. He's done a lot of his career. So hopefully he's okay with doing that some more.
No, Matt Marr says McDowell also brings in not only experience, but leadership, where Spire's elder statesman is LaJoie, who's still proving himself. At what point do we say enough pennies?
Yeah.
At what point? I'm just asking. We've got funding. You've had opportunities. You blew the big one with Chase in the 9 car. Some people don't get as many opportunities as they deserve, and that's fair. But everyone gets opportunities. What do you make up?
Corey LaJoie has never even finished in the top three. Not once in the Cup Series.
You know,
his best finish ever is fourth.
You know, what do you, we all get opportunities where we make of them. Case in point, Matty D, I know everyone's got opinions on him. Mm-hmm. He had an opportunity with Viking Motorsports, RSS, whatever you want to call them. He had an opportunity for 5 races. He took the most of that opportunity, and now he's in that baby full-time rest of the year. That's Corey LaJoie has not had many opportunities, and he should have gotten more. I think that's fair. But yep. We can't say he hasn't gotten any, and he's yet to really capitalize, in my estimation.
I can't disagree with you. I think if he had like a run of second place finishes and we can look back and say, oh, he had a few stolen from him, that's a different story. But, you know, fourth is great. Don't get me wrong. You know, people are happy if they're running fourth, but it's not good enough. It's not sustainable.
Race Hub has been announced to end next month. They've been a staple on speed in the FS1 for years and years. This is perplexing and upsetting for me. We just signed a new 7-year contract with Fox, and then the first thing they do once the ink dries is announce the end of their daily NASCAR-related show. I don't like this, Adam. You know, I'm not saying I watched it all the time. I probably watched at least an episode a week. But I don't like the fact that if we're trying to keep up with the Joneses, there's a MLB's got a whole network. The NFL's got a whole network. NBA's got a whole network. And then outside of those networks on ESPN and TNT and TBS, they have weekly shows and sometimes daily shows, you know, like inside the NBA and all that. I'm sure the NHL does as well. I'm not much of a hockey guy. And then we lose our daily show. The first thing they do once an ink dries on a new deal. Explain this to me because I don't get it.
I mean, I don't have an explanation for you. I'm equally as perplexed. I understand maybe that the 5 days a week is maybe not sustainable and maybe there's not enough viewership 5 days a week, like watching every single day to, you know, to justify that. But why not move it to a weekly show then? You know, like let's have an hour, 2 hours a week. Get together all of your best stories that you normally would spread out throughout the week, do it on a Friday or so. I don't know. You know, I don't care what day you do it. And at least keep that content going because I don't know that there is a need. There's a desire for that from the fans. Like the overarching reaction to this is negative. And so you're not getting people going, I never watched it anymore. So, you know, good riddance. We don't care. The entire reaction that I have seen, at least, is, wow, what the hell are they doing?
No, it seems like a subtle screw you to NASCAR fans. Again, I didn't watch it nightly. That's a week is a lot in 2024 to ask, in my estimation, especially when we have more viewership options than ever.
I can barely keep up with truck races, let alone race up.
Let alone race up. But to not be around at all, you could slowly phase it out. You could do quarter specials. You could do one day a week. You could do something besides end it, especially the fact of it just shows there's not a whole lot of loyalty in business because, again, this is the last remaining show from the speed era.
Yeah,
I mean, this is the last remaining show of the Steve Burns era. This was Steve Burns' show. Who we lost, of course. And so I don't want to make this more than what it is, but from a business standpoint, I'm disgusted by it because it just feels like, ha, we got a boatload of money and ha, we got NASCAR another 7 years, but we don't really care. I you know, it makes you wonder if they didn't get fleeced, as the young kids say, in the meeting.
Yeah. Are they annoyed that they got less races next year? Like, cause I know Amazon and TNT are picking up some, and is that like a, you know, screw you for taking some away from us? I don't get it. I don't know.
I don't like it at all. I hope that Prime or TNT answers with something. Like I said, I'd be fine with even a streaming daily show, but we need something to keep up with every other sport. Matt Moore says NASCAR needs a dedicated streaming platform and network. Then he says, boomers are going to hate, but if you want more content every day and have to have news be broken and talked about, we need a network dedicated to it. I'm not opposed to that. I would pay $10 a month or whatever for a.
I've said the same thing. Service. I'll pay a streaming service and then we can have commercial free races too.
I would like to see Amazon Prime take up the mantle on that, since that and it would be great to have Dale Jr. be a big part of that, since he's not going to be in the booth for NBC this year and isn't going to do a ton of races next year as far as in the booth. I think they're covering all the qualifying and practice, though. So it's going to be interesting to see what his role is at the track. No, we need a daily show somewhere, whether that's on Amazon Prime or Peacock or TNT. We need a daily show somewhere, or if not daily, weekly, two days a week, something. I mean, NFL Live is on multiple times a week, Inside the NBA multiple times a week. I don't see why we shouldn't have the same thing, because the biggest issue is people go, well, what do you care? Here's why I care. It gave you more access to the drivers throughout the week to get their mindset. Not to mention a lot of people are losing their jobs. Matt Morris says it needs to be comparable to the MLB Network, NFL Network, and NHL Network. At this point, that's probably not viable. At some point, it would have to be a full-fledged streaming service now. I think it's amazing that those three networks are doing as well as they're doing, given the dying of cable. I would love to see that, though, a NASCAR network. I would pay for that, whether that be cable or streaming. I would be glad to pay for it. But yeah, I don't like this move. The ink gets dry on the new contract, and then the first thing you do is not only end your longest running show on your network very unceremoniously. I mean, this should be you could have said we'll do one more year of it. Mm-hmm. There's a way to do this more respectfully than just our last show is going to be, I think, June 11th or whatever it may be. Just not good loyalty, disrespectful, quite frankly, to the memory of Steve Burns. And I know that's not their intention. They don't care, I'm sure. But this show is a legacy show and should be given the send-off as such. And I don't care if one person watches it. You've reached a point of like 2,500 episodes. It deserves a little better than that, in my estimation. Any final thoughts before we move along?
No, I can't disagree with you there. That's all I got.
I'm kind of, again, I don't want to overstate it, but I'm a little sickened by it. Just not very good. Speaking of things I'm a little sickened by, the Denny Bracket Challenge is coming in 2025. We're going to have an in-season tournament because NASCAR needs more gimmicks. Adam, break it down for us.
If you haven't been paying attention, Denny Hamlin came up with this idea on his podcast last year. It's basically a mid-season bracket tournament where each week two drivers are paired off against each other, and whoever finishes higher, or I guess better, moves on. And his idea was to do this in the middle of the summer when sometimes viewership is lower, and NASCAR actually picked it up. They're doing it next year, and the winner of it is going to win $1 million. So I know you're not pleased about it, but I think it's great. Why not? You know, we got nothing to lose. It's not changing anything.
Are we getting into that?
We should, but
because guess what the winner of the All-Star race allegedly gets?
$1 million. Yeah. Hmm. Well, that's good. We want to incentivize good racing. We want to incentivize the drivers to push for something maybe in the middle of the summer. When
are we suggesting they're not busting ass in the middle of the summer?
Well, there's not $1 million on the line. That's, you know, maybe that adds a little extra. It's not so much that you're pushing harder or that they're not pushing hard right now, but maybe you're up against someone who's running right next to you, but you're both running 30th and 31st. That creates an extra storyline where maybe that's some hard racing. Whereas normally week to week, you go, yeah, we're both not going to win. Let's not get in each other's way. Let's just bring it home clean. Like, there's $1 million. Like, there could be $1 million riding between 31st and 30th. And that adds a little extra intrigue. I think it's cool that NASCAR is doing this as like a, almost like throwing a bone to TNT, because it's going to be during the TNT portion of the schedule. And I don't know. I say try something fresh.
Right. I think it's a little too gimmicky for my taste, but I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll give it a chance. I'll give it a chance before I completely go, that's just yucky. Because You're right. We can try it, but the idea that it's going to incentivize fans, I don't buy it. And can I tell you quickly why? I know we got to go. A lot of fans don't give a fiddler's fooey about the All-Star race. And guess what's on the line? $1 million.
But okay, you compare, like I said this earlier, if you compare the NASCAR All-Star race to like the NFL Pro Bowl or the NHL All-Star game is kind of a joke. I know you don't watch hockey much, but everyone goes there. They're afraid of getting injured. No one wants to play super hard. It's just like a ceremonial.
NFL same way, yeah.
Yeah, there's no actual incentive to like really try. And I know NHL has been trying that lately. They've been giving out $1 million prize or something similar like that. And even still, it hasn't done much. But I feel like the All-Star race, like you get down to the end, those drivers are trying hard. And so if it was just an All-Star race for like bragging rights and like, oh yeah, I won the All-Star race, I don't know if we'd see that. So I think the $1 million does make a difference.
Fair enough. Let's get to a couple comments from Matt before we move on. The bracket tournament literally sounds like the $1 million challenge for winning or finishing best out of five races like they did up until the mid-2000s. Fair point.
He asks, is
it any better or worse sounding than Dash for Cash and Xfinity? I hear you on that, Matt, but remember, they need to attract some viewership, right?
I think it's better.
Why?
I don't know. I don't know. I'm just excited for it. I think it's going to be fun.
All right. I'm not going to yuck your yum. I'm not going to yuck your yum. We're going to give it a shot. We're going to give it a shot here on Racing Your Fresh Happy Hour. Okay. I just might do a kick and screaming. We'll see what happens. All right. And then finally, there's some 2025 schedule rumors. Any more touch on those real quick?
Oh, we'll save that for next week.
Okay.
We're running low on time here already. That. Yeah.
In that case, what do you say we play a game to raise some fresh picks?
Let's do it.
All right, we'll talk rumors next week. Let's play a little race and refresh picks. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Adam, let's get producer Peggy in here and let's update us on the score.
it was a beautiful week. You're correct, because I was the winner. I picked Denny Hamlin. He came in fourth. And so, I score some extra points there. Peyton is still in the lead. She's got 30 points. Then it's me with 28. Logan and Colin are bringing up the rear, tied at 26.
It's tight, though.
It is tight. Oh, yeah, for sure. It's still close.
It's too good.
Peyton, unfortunately, your pick last week left a little to be desired. You had Reddick. Actually, no, he looked like he was a real shot to win, but finished 32nd. You get to pick first. You had one win for him there, Matt. That was good.
Go ahead, Matt. Pick for him again. Let us know in the comments.
Yeah.
Can I look at my list?
Sure. No
rush.
One person did that before him. That's all right.
I've been busy.
Remember, Adam can see you.
And he's been seeing me be busy. I'm going to take Eric Jones.
All right. Now, actually, we should talk about this because I'm just realizing, are we picking for the All-Star race? This is for the All-Star race, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
So because Eric Jones is not technically locked in the race, Peter.
That's true. Do you want to pick someone who is locked in?
But I don't know who's locked in.
You can find out real quick on racingrefresh.com.
You're lucky I have it bookmarked.
I should hope so. What is this you got here, Logan? Is that?
It's Ric Flair.
Ric Flair. Very nice. well, you know what? We'll come back to Peyton. Logan, you are up next. Would you like to make a pick?
I'll take Denny Hamlin.
All right.
Logan, it's not on here.
I posted it.
No, you didn't.
Uh-oh. I'm not seeing it either, Logan.
That's wild, bro.
There's trouble in paradise here. Just pick someone who's won in the last 2 years, Peyton.
Brad Keselowski.
Oh, you picked him already for Texas.
Chris Buescher.
Chris Buescher. All right, done. Matt, does Matt have a pick for Colin? We will, if not, we will try and get Colin's pick. And then I have last pick here. I am going to take... I'll take Daniel Suarez.
Mi amigo.
Yeah. And not seeing anything from Matt Maher there on behalf of Colin, so we will we'll get Colin's pick later. We'll fill you in next week.
Yes, sir.
But there you go. Tune in next
week. With that, you know what it's time for, folks?
If anyone can. It is time.
Blows and die. Adam Carabine, final words.
Well, it's been a lovely show. Thanks for tuning in, everyone. And I felt like I brought some heat early on. I don't know if I carried it on for the entire show, but I tried. But I guess, you know what? We're going to throw this out there to Amazon and or TNT. Perhaps Amazon Prime, if they're going to start up their own one day a week show, you know. How about bringing in the boys from Race and Refresh Happy Hour? We are already doing it. We'd be happy to keep it going, and they can hire us to keep everyone informed weekly. So
I'll do it every day if they hire me.
Yeah, and you know what? We're probably a lot cheaper than Dale Jr. So
you're damn Skippy, brother.
And even just half as charming. I mean, that's pretty good.
And think about it. Half the price, half the charm.
There you go.
Crazy Fresh Happy Hour.
Yeah. And check out this week. Sorry, check out this week. We got power rankings coming out tomorrow morning. Those will be out. See how your favorite driver is faring. You know, Logan doesn't like my scoring metric, but that's all right. You'll have to watch it and see what happens.
I'll let you know if I disagree some more.
You might.
We'll see what happens. Producer Peggy, final words.
I will miss the All-Star race this weekend unless it is postponed. No, I will not go back and watch it, because if I miss it live, then it's useless.
Interesting.
So maybe I'll watch some highlights. Other than that, I'll be useless next week. That's all.
Okay. I too will be missing the All-Star race if things aren't postponed or, you know, adjusted. And I'm disappointed by that. I hate missing races. I mean, I loathe them, people. These two know me. I really do loathe it. It bothers me all week. I sit and I think all week about it. How can I sneak away and potentially watch the race? Because when that 43 and 42 is on track, I need to be watching. I feel it's in my soul. It's in my soul. So, but unfortunately, unless Mother Nature collides and intervenes in Ohio or in North Wilkesboro, Adam, you should probably find a new host next week, because I won't be very good.
All right. Sounds good.
Actually, let's be honest. Nobody can host this thing but me.
Hey, I did it once without you. It was terrifying.
Well, don't worry. Logie Bear got you.
Okay. Thanks, buddy.
All right. With that, folks, we appreciate you, Freddie, Matt, and anyone else, Ryan. And we hope you enjoy an all-star race that's for $1 million that'll lose some of its novelty next year thanks to some silly in-season tournament that the NBA already proved was worthless. Because guess who won the in-season tournament of the NBA, folks? The Los Angeles Lakers. Guess who got eliminated first round of the playoffs? The Los Angeles Lakers. See how much it meant? Not Jack with a side of squat. So with that, we appreciate every single viewer. We'll give a chance to that in-season gimmick tournament. And Adam, you can quit shaking your doggone head.
You're going to love it. You're going to love it, Logan.
I hope I do.
I'm going to laugh when Eric Jones wins it. And
I would love another $1 million for Legacy Motor Club. Those underfunded teams need the cash, but instead it'd be Denny Hamlin because, well, it's about time he didn't choke on something. All right, folks, with that, we'll see you next week at the next track. And until then, by God, we'll see you at that next track.